it. Here we go around the van, 1107. Danny O'Neill's been sitting in for Tom. Tom, the ailing Tom, who hurt his knee while visiting his father's grave. Danny's got a wagon. That's the wagon that we use to spread news and opinion, also known as News Manure. That's a combination of news and then our opinion about often considered manure. Ho comes Danny now in the wagon. Oh, hey, Danny, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Having fun in the wagon?
I am.
You like the wagon, do you?
I do enjoy the wagon.
You're sitting on the telephone book I left in the wagon so you could reach the break. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I lumped you in with Miss Houston, the woman who would not give me 5 feet at the end of my freshman year.
Who's sitting next to you? Hey, it's Bill Davidson.
Albert Einstein issued one of my most favorite quotes in the history of the spoken word, and it is as follows.
Okay.
In the middle of opportunity, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. I'm going to repeat that I have clarity tonight.
Please.
In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity.
It's a gold mine. Again, you got time. Phil Davidson's acceptance speech, or the fact that he's throwing his hat into the ring to run for Minerva Water Commissioner. What was he running for?
Stark County?
Stark
something?
County. Yeah. Ever seen that?
Yes.
Oh, it's classic. By the way, do we have anybody ready to play the know-it-all quiz?
We do.
Okay, good. There we go. Took care of that. Anybody good?
I think he's good.
Give me a quick demographic rundown on the person that's going to be carrying 8 minutes of the show at 11:34.
He's 41, and he's a landscaper by day, but he also writes children's books on the side.
Okay, perfect. Here we go. Should we check in with Dory at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. I got two walk-on songs for Dory. I appreciate him coming in here and doing this. You ready?
No more, Mr. Nice Guy. No more, Mr. King.
There he is. We call him Mr. Two here at Cairo Radio, right behind the Tom and Curly Show. Hey, Dory, how are you?
Just for the record, I've been alive a long time, but I'm going to count these last 3 minutes on hold as among the most painful of my lifetime.
Okay, well.
I don't buy it, Dory.
Starting right off.
You were sitting next to Dave Wyman yesterday when he was talking about you icing his crotch.
That's true. It's true on that.
Well, I said among the worst, Daddy. I didn't call this the worst.
Well, Dory, I'm sorry about the 3 minutes of pain. Let's add 6 minutes for our listeners when they listen to you on our show.
I get it.
See where we are? Danny is a little upset that he was not asked to go to London. Can you please make him feel better about not being there, like how crappy it is?
Well, it's just been a spectacular trip of a lifetime, Danny. And, you know, you see history. You've covered the Seahawks for a long time, and to not be part of their first overseas regular season game. Nah, I can't really make Danny feel better about not being here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I understand that and appreciate that. And when you guys had to take the show on the road, I realized that I was a liability.
Yes. It's been really good. And I've barely left the hotel grounds here. Mm-hmm. But it's an incredible place. It's this huge country manor. And the Seahawks have just taken over the entire facility here, but they have a golf course, they have a soccer pitch that they've transformed into a practice field. Mm-hmm. You know, when I went out to the practice yesterday, Macklemore was blaring from the speakers. It looked and sounded just like a VMAC practice session, and they've really done a fantastic job of making this trip seem as normal as possible, even though, you know, they're time challenges and all of that, but it is a great experience, and I really do wish you were here, Danny, because Wyman really needs a handler.
Oh,
I could see that, but I also found myself wondering, is there a service staff there? Is it like Downton Abbey? Can you go and yell at people to bring you stuff, and they just respond to your every beck and call?
Do you think I've ever watched a PBS show in my life?
No.
Come on, Dory. It was a cultural phenomenon.
Dory, let me ask you this. What is the NFL trying to achieve by having the Seahawks fly all the way there and then you as well for you to do your show? Are they trying to establish a footprint in the UK and then grow this franchise into international markets?
The NFL is trying to achieve complete global dominance. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've said before that The NFL, I think, is truly the most successful entertainment enterprise in history in terms of, you know, the eyeballs they attract to the Super Bowl, the revenues they generate. There's a lot of talk that one of their next teams will be in Mexico City as they, and they've played regular season games down in Mexico City. They want to crack, and you know, they tried with NFL Europe several years ago, but with games like this, and they schedule several games here every year, with games like this, they want to just make sure that they start to, you know, achieve that dominance of the European market. And that's what it's about. It's about marketing, and and they're very, very good at it.
When you think about the idea of a team in London, though, I remember how reluctant NBA players were to go to Canada when there were awesome cities like Vancouver, BC, and Toronto. I don't know how a 22-year-old college kid is going to feel about, you got drafted, it's the dream of a lifetime, and guess what? You're going to London where, well, you're not even going to be the biggest sport in town because that's the Premier League.
Yeah, and I don't think they could do it just from a competition standpoint, Danny, because it is. There's a lot of talk. You know, a few years ago, there's all this rap about the Seahawks had trouble with East Coast games because of the time difference, a three-hour time difference. An eight-hour time difference would be such a gigantic situational advantage that I don't see how they could do it. You know, they can get away with it in Mexico City. They can get away with it if both teams have that time differential, but to establish a team here, I cannot possibly envision. I could be wrong just from a business standpoint, but from a competition standpoint, I can't imagine them ever putting a team over here.
Dan O'Neill, here we go.
Yeah, can I give you a couple of suggestions on things you can say to the Brits to kind of encourage some collegial relationships?
Oh, please, yeah.
If there's any flack that they give you, I want you to threaten to throw all of their tea into the harbor.
Oh, wow.
Said, we did it once before, we'll do it again.
Wow.
The other thing is to inform them that
I don't know that I get that reference,
right,
but I'll
either
accept it. I'm writing it down right now. Okay, go ahead.
The other one is to say that our brand of football is superior because we actually allow and encourage people to use their hands, while soccer remains a bipedal sport where we just like, hey, no hands. We've developed more fully as humans.
I agree with you, but we've already had two ties in NFL games this season,
right.
So we are slowly evolving toward the socialist nature of soccer. So that bothers me about the NFL.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I hadn't thought about that. We don't need more ties.
Oh,
We do not need more ties.
Okay, this has been the longest 7 minutes of my life.
No, Dory, thank you.
That's it?
Go Ice Wyman's crotch.
Why don't you do 3 hours of your show? Oh, please. Please. You have your own show coming up at noon.
Bye, Dory.
Bye, Dory.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Bye now.
All right, let's see. You know, he starts right off whacking me for the 3 minutes and sitting there on hold. Right, really, right off the top?
Yep. It's the way it's going to go.
So, yeah, it's always fisticuffs with Dory. Let's see, the fact that the managing editor of the New York Times has basically come out and told everybody what everybody already knew was going to be happening. The fact that at some point in the very near future, newspaper as a piece of paper will be going away. It's happening in Canada, and Trudeau said we're going to put $50 million into trying to support newspapers so that we can continue to have something, a physical paper in front, as opposed to going onto the internet for digital news. The best example I've ever seen given about a newspaper or the importance of news overall, they said, imagine you have no mirror in your house. You have no way of getting any reflection of yourself. You can't get it on a phone. You can't get anything. You have no idea what you look like. You have no bearing on a reflection back to you. And then the only mirror that is given to you would be like a carnival house mirror that's a form of distortion. So now you're viewing the world or viewing yourself through a distorted mirror, never really getting the true view of what you look like or who you are. And without newspaper, it's like living in a world, or without news, it's like living in a world with no mirror. And then the only stuff that you do get through the internet or talk radio, imagine that, would be sort of a distorted carnival view mirror.
Yes.
Okay.
I would agree with that. Do you still read a newspaper?
Paper?
Yeah.
No.
Do you get the paper?
No. I have the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and the Washington Post come on my phone every single day.
But you still consume news.
Always.
Mainstream news.
Absolutely.
In that way.
Yeah.
I think there is an interesting. I worked at a newspaper. My wife still works at the newspaper, and she now works more in the business side of things. So I'm fascinated by the future of this. one of the really strange things about American free press is we love the free press, right? Mm-hmm. There's no prohibition. Government can't get in the way. It is incredibly safe to be overwhelmingly critical of the government here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But because everything is tied into business, because everything is a business,
yeah,
it's becoming increasingly hard to say unpopular things. That there is, we don't have censorship in the sense that, hey, a government leader will come in and say, you cannot criticize the government. It's incredibly safe to criticize the government.
Yes.
It is difficult to say unpopular things.
Unpopular things about something that's not the government?
Yes.
Okay, so then you're either...
Socially unacceptable things. There is, because everything is muted, because everything is a business, because you're always prone to either subscriber boycotts or advertiser boycotts, mm-hmm. that mirror that you talked about, the objective reflection, it's not entirely objective because you have to remain a viable business. And I think it's made some interesting and weird, it's not that it's good or bad, it's the downside to how our mass media is structured.
That connection, that umbilical cord that leads you to be able to creep finances and commercialism through in the newspaper. At times there is a conflict, and often the newspaper will say, and the editor will say, that we have a relationship with this particular business. They always put that out front. I know NPR, with most of their stories, they always tell everybody that that Ford and Ford Foundation is a donor too, and now they do a story on to let you know. It seems like there's two parts to the newspaper, or it used to be, news anyway. There was the news, and then there was the editorial section. The two seem to have bled together now. It does bother me that certain words are used, certain verbs are used to describe. Probably the best example, I remember one time talking to folks that used to work in the Bush administration, and I was talking about general bias that's not even known that there's a bias, and they pointed to a headline which was, Bush will travel country to peddle his Social Security reforms. And I remember thinking to myself, peddle. So the president of the United States is out peddling, right? The verb, not, or they use the word attack a lot. So the verbs that are chosen have a punch to them or a bias to them that exists because the writer has a particular point of view. And they're trying to write it like a who, what, when, where, why, how. But they slip certain things in there to let you know how they really feel about candidate X, Y, or Z.
I think that those accidental biases or unspoken sort of slants,
yes,
certainly exist.
Okay.
But that's not as concerning to me as the bigger picture. And it kind of ties into the next story we have about Fox News not broadcasting all of Trump's rallies. And that's because they're not as popular. If a broadcast news company is making a decision of what they cover based on what's popular,
yes,
there's a danger in that. Because what's popular and what you need for an informed citizenry, mm-hmm, are two different things.
Well, let's admit that anything you see on cable news is not news. There was Ted Koppel 2 weeks ago, sat down with the people at CNN and a little back and forth. And Koppel said to, was it Brian Seltzer? Is that his name? Seltzer or whatever? He said, you should be grateful for Donald Trump. Your ratings are up. They've never been this high. Your revenue is 30 or 40% increase. You love him. He's doing great things for you. And every day you run another story about Donald Trump. It's not news. It's Donald Trump. So they make money off of that guy, but it's not necessarily news. These things are revenue generating machines. It's a corporation, and their job is to get eyeballs, and you get eyeballs by not delivering the news. You get eyeballs by delivering, you know, hot topic editorial opinions about certain people.
And that compromises the ability for the mirror that you talked about to accurately see yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're trying to just attract eyeballs, and this goes back, the New York Times is enjoying more financial success right now because of their biggest critic, because of Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because every time he says and talks about the failing New York Times, there's a bunch of people that hate Donald Trump who then go up and sign up for the New York Times digital subscription because they want to spite Trump. He's helping them. I don't know that that's necessarily helping media become better in this country.
Well, listen, conflict is always necessary in every single story, right? There's man versus man versus himself, and man versus nature. You have to have conflict in order for the story to have forward motion for the person to continue to watch it or read it. So what you need to do is clearly define this guy and that guy, black hat, white hat, and then you put them going at one another like a cockfight. So that's the way 24-hour news goes. And if they can't get the news, then they get seven people to sit on a panel and continue to sort of inflame the white hat, black hat argument so that conflict is always going.
If we don't have subjects that will argue with each other, we're going to put people out there that are going to argue
right,
with each other,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. And that's how TV works on conflict. That's probably not the best recipe for good journalism.
No, but I think we have given up journalism a long time
ago. No! We're not going to give up on journalism.
What is journalism? Is it not the who, what, when, where, how?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It is to objectively describe what is out there, what is happening, without regard to who's paying for it, and without regard to who is affected by it. Like, it is about telling the truth. Like, it's really simple. There's a lot of different ways you can do it, but the hard and fast rule of journalism is it has to be truthful.
But no, first of all, it has to sell. And truth does not...
No! Only in America. We shouldn't have to sell it. The truth should sell itself. You can handle the truth, John.
Not only in America. These corporations need to generate revenue. And since they've lost all their advertising through commercials, because now nobody wants to do classified, that's for local newspapers, and nobody wants to spend money on a $185,000 front page ad, you're going to do it somewhere else. But ultimately, you need to get somebody to pick up your newspaper. So that's why you have crazy headlines. But if you read about the newspapers back in the 1930s and or 1830s and 40s and 50s, they were clearly defined that one represented one side, one represented the other, and the two never met. And everybody knew that there were biases in whatever the newspaper was that was coming out.
The partisan press.
Yes.
But look at over in England. You get a big check from the government to write, or the commies up in Canada who like are going to subsidize newspapers so they can stay around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can do it different ways. It doesn't have to always be about business.
But don't you think that people really don't just want the who, what, when, where, why? They do want all the other stuff that goes with it.
You got to eat your vegetables, too. We need to give them their daily vitamins without regard to what they want, because the people, they always want dessert. Hey, give me more cake. No, you got to eat the broccoli.
Wow.
That's right.
So broccoli first, then the cake.
That's correct.
All right. Here's what we do. Fast break. Come back. Muggleshoot Bingo bringing the know-it-all quiz. Again, he's 41. He's a landscaper. And in his free time at night, he writes children's stories.
Correct.
Is he prepared to read anything from that children's story for us?
I'll ask him to. Yeah,
is this children's story always circulating around a landscaper during the day?
I don't think so.
It's writing from his own experience. And then, boys and girls, when the weed whacker came out, it made a really annoying noise that everyone in the neighborhood hated.
You gotta watch out for those earthworms.
We'll be right back. Hey, thanks, Muggleshoot Bingo, for bringing us the know-it-all quiz. As we get one person to get on the phone, to get on the air, to play. And what are you going to get? Well, you find yourself getting a $50 gift certificate to Anthony's Restaurant. And also, why not head over to the Seattle Home Show that's happening from the 19th to the 21st at CenturyLink Field Event Center. That's SeattleHomeShow.com for more information. Danny, ready for this?
I am. Right. I am geared up.
Here we go. Let's meet our contestant now. His name is Joe. He lives in Laconia. He's 41 years old. He just bought tickets for his first cruise this week. He's buying tickets to a cruise every week. He's a landscaper, and on the side, he writes children's books. Joe-ho. Joe-ho. How are you, Joe?
Good. You should write an album.
Okay. I should. Hey, let me ask you, are you supposed to be landscaping right now when you're talking to us on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what are you supposed
to do? My partner kicked me out of the truck, which is my brother.
Oh.
Listen, so I'm standing by a tree.
Okay, well, we appreciate the fact that you listen, standing by a tree right now. Danny, you want anything to say to Joe before we get started?
Good luck, Joe.
Wait, hold on. I got a question for you. So what inspires your children's books? Do you have kids?
No, I was a program director at the Boys and Girls Club for some years, and then I think my art style kind of works well with children, and I'm currently working on a comic book, actually.
Oh, wow. Good. What are some of the themes of some of your books that you've written?
They vary. One's a little science fiction-y, one's a little Goonies-like.
Okay.
and one is very fantasy. So I like different genres, though.
And you're not getting all into that whole, like, hey, you're okay the way you are kind of thing. Your self-esteem's important. You're not trying to shovel that kind of manure at them, are you?
No, I agree with your political views way more than Tom's.
Okay, there we go. So therefore, you only need to get two right. You ready, Danny?
Yeah, I think this deck is stacked against us liberal pinkos.
Tone and tenor of everything we establish, and I call it a friendship. Here we go, Joe. Get two right. Find yourself going to Anthony's. The Philadelphia Flyers mascot has been co-opted by an unlikely group, and the Flyers organization is not happy. These are stories we covered all week. Who is doing the co-opting? Danny.
A. ISIS terrorists are now selling T-shirts and bobblehead toys at the hockey mascot to raise money for the caliphate. Did I say that right?
I think so.
B. The LGBTQ community has taken the mascot as their own. Michael Hockney, the spokesperson for Queer Queers, said, Gritty appears to have no reproductive organs, and we respect its ability to move outside the norms of gender-specific social stereotyping. The fact that it is so huggable doesn't hurt. Or C. Antifa. The hard left radical group has adopted Gritty. No one knows why.
I'm going to say C.
At this point, Joe from LaConnor has how many right, Danny?
He is one for one. And let me just offer, I think Gritty should be the mascot for meth heads everywhere.
Okay. We covered a story out of Finland, but don't seem to make a whole lot of sense to us. Apparently, there is a custom among the Finnish people that encourages folks to do what in their underwear, Danny?
A. Get drunk. B. Hot tubbing. Organizers of the new craze sweeping Finland say underwear is just like a bathing suit, only with stains, and the chlorine takes care of that stuff. So jump in your underwear. C. Vote.
Final answer. I mean, a final answer. Which one was the underwear answer question?
Wait.
No,
I've
that's,
written one
that's
more
hot
joke,
tubbing.
Joe. Hold on.
Yeah,
go
you
ahead.
Got one more.
Okay.
Right. Vote. The lack of traditional clothing helps create a more unified country when choosing a new government. Then all newly elected officials must make a speech in their underwear.
So which one was the drunk one?
A.
Absolutely.
There you go. Here we go. A small suburban neighborhood just outside of Detroit. City Council has decided to put up signs to encourage parents to be better parents. What does the sign say, Danny?
A. No spanking. B. Parents learn to say no. You're ruining society because you are so weak. C. Put down your phone and talk to your child. You're ruining society by playing Candy Crush and checking Facebook.
Can you say all of them?
A. No spanking.
Okay.
Four, in probably the lamest story we did all week, if not all month, simply because Jacob wants to tank the show so he can collect unemployment, why did a doctor in Hawaii keep getting calls, emergency phone calls, Danny?
A, because the doctor was an emergency room doctor and it was just a very busy evening. I told you it was a lame story.
Mm-hmm.
B, a glitch in the hospital phone system kept hitting redial on the physician's number. C, a tiny gecko walking across the screen of the phone and causing the physician's cell phone to ring.
A.
It's the worst answer on there.
C. A tiny gecko kept walking across the screen of the phone and causing the physician's cell phone to ring.
Stop the music for 1 second.
Please. I admit I missed that story.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything.
Okay.
You didn't miss anything. Let me tell you what it is. For some reason, Jacob has this weird thing about animal stories, and we didn't even get into the story before Mike Lewis crapped all over it. And then now I'm defending it. Now I'm cleaning up Jacob's crappy story because Lewis pooped on it.
Yeah.
It was a dumpster fire of a segment. And I'm glad you missed it, Joe. Music, please.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go. In another terrible story Jacob made us do, a woman was delayed at a flight to Cleveland for 2 hours. How did she manage to do that, Danny?
A. She wanted to take her emotional support squirrel on board. B. Her pet gecko kept butt-dialing the pilot of the flight.
It's funny.
C. She refused to take her Gritty costume off, and she couldn't fit in her seat.
Wow.
A. Final answer.
Yes! Congratulations, Joe, living in LaConnor, working, unfortunately, with his brother in a truck while standing under a tree and writing books that kids will never read. You get a chance to go to the home show, which you'll probably never go to.
But can I say this?
I'm in the middle of doing a
plug. Joe's got a great laugh.
He does have a good
laugh. It's an awesome laugh.
Yes, Joe. Keep it up. Hey, I love the fact that you listen to the show, and I love the fact that you're going to get yourself $50 gift certificate, Anthony's home port. Good food, good chowder down there, plus also the home show happening from the 19th to the 21st of October. And we'll send you a T-shirt, large, medium, or small. What do you wear, Joe?
Medium.
Medium. Can we do a medium for him?
I think so.
Yeah, we'll find one in the bucket. All right, hey, Joe, have yourself a fabulous weekend. And again, we really, really love the fact that you're 41 years old, busting the demographic of those people that listen to talk radio.
Of course. Love you, John.
Okay. Bye-bye, Joe.
What about me?
No, no, not you. We'll be right back. Andrew, that's nice. There we go. Heading into Friday. Big weekend planned for you, Danny.
Yeah. My wife's leaving. She's probably boarding a plane right about now. She's going to Phoenix. She's going to be back on Monday. So that means no dishes this weekend and walking around the place in my underwear.
Ah, teeny tiny lady in a pickle jar.
Hello!
She's going to tell us about the letter today. But first of all, the mailman comes by and he has the letters for us. Walking around in your underwear.
That's right. And then you had the lady in the pickle jar, which was awkward.
As you can see, I'm the mailman.
He sees you.
Felt like that was a commentary on me.
I don't know why you had to wait for your wife to leave in order for you to walk around in your underwear.
Well, yeah, because I still live in, I live in perpetual fear of my wife's judgment of me. So when she's gone, then I act the way I want to act.
But. Got it. Danny, fill in. Here we go. You can start the letters, Danny. Some people love you.
Carolyn in Lake Forest Park. Yay! Danny!
253 follows that up with, get that hobbit off the radio. Danny O knows nothing about everything.
Hmm. Is that a compliment?
Yes, you're an expert in knowing nothing.
Unclear to me. Heidi in Redondo, hey, are you sure Tom really hurt his leg? Mm. How do you know he's not drinking beer with Dory Monson and the rest of the Cairo gang at some pub in London? For Christ's sake, the football game isn't until Sunday. Something smells fishy. We all know that Tom, being the Francophile that he is, wouldn't go to London.
206, hey, Danny, can you please talk about when you tried to get Dave Ross to flip you off the other morning? That was hilarious.
He would not flip me off. He's never flipped anyone off, he said, which... it boggles my mind, and if I was him, I would want to know at least what it feels like to flip someone off, so I wanted to empower him. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give him carte blanche, the privilege of doing it, just to see how it felt.
How did he rationalize not flipping anybody off?
He just said he would never do such a thing. It would be rude, imprudent. Mm. It's like, come on, let go!
Death Penalty 425 says we can't generalize. Different victims want different things. Some want pure vengeance. Some choose to forgive, and everything in between.
From the 253, what about it being used as a bargaining tool or even as the supreme punishment for those that are already going to be looking at life? If they can commit something else and they're already looking at life in prison, there's no higher punishment for them.
And Dan says, you left out one key issue in the death penalty discussion. That is, our justice system is imperfect. In the last 15 years, Innocent Project has helped over 300 people convicted of felonies prove their innocence, including 18 that were on death row. Death is a permanent solution to what might have been an erroneous conviction. Life without parole leaves the door open to fixing mistaken convictions.
On Banksy from the 360, isn't Danny awful young to be such a darned curmudgeon? That's a title usually held by guys my and Tom's age, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Seahawks in London, 253. Brian says, yeah, Danny, we do not need more ties, especially bow ties. It's a shot at you again.
From the 360, we play baseball and hockey with Canadian teams. Why not American football with the British teams? Soccer and cricket and rugby managed to do it with worldwide teams. Look, I don't know why the Brits aren't interested in American football. I don't know why they're not interested in dentistry. There's a lot of different things that the English people don't like to do. I don't feel we should force things on them.
A 9-year-old ghost boy who witnessed me doing it in a coffin many, many years ago.
What?
I have a question for Danny. Would you sports guys say I was on the DL, you know, the dead list? By the way, I've been to London. Tom and John did a story about a woman who was interested in romantic ghost encounters, so I flew over there to see for myself. London rocks. Yeah, he 9-year-old ghost boy saw myself with this woman that I was dating who slept in a coffin. Just move on. My face is getting all hot and red. Go ahead.
Taxidermy dog, 253. Was that a Freudian slip? A gateway drug? That was hilarious.
I didn't even remember that. 253. Where's the political correctness, Danny? I guess that's only for liberal Seattleites, not hillbillies.
I told you, I'm a hillbilly. I self-identify, so I'm allowed to use that and cracker and redneck.
All right.
Kanye West from the 360. Saturday Night Live going to have a blast with his latest rant.
True on that, 206. Let Kanye have his opinion, just like the rest of us. He started off liberal, now conservative. He called George W. A. a racist. Remember, people, he got older. I think he got smarter, too.
Here's the thing. We just want to hear athletes and entertainers when they have the same opinion as us.
That's
and
true.
If they're not, then we call them crazy and uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
From the 509, good news. His fans are now for Trump. Bad news. None of them vote.
And Sean in Arlington says, on Kanye West, the weight of his fame, etc. Who the hell is Kanye West?
I like that one. Andy's letter. Andy, on the road less traveled. Hi-ho, fellas, and happy friggin' Friday. Not a darn minute too soon, am I right? So let me see. It's 9:29. John's already said the show off the flow. Danny, Tom Brady is God. O'Neill has to be edited on air. And basically the whole ratings juggernaut that is the Tom and Curly Show is one match away from being a dumpster fire.
Oh, no.
But I'm the moron for wishing a happy hump day eve instead of Friday
That's
eve.
True. That's true. Yesterday.
Typical conservative double standards. Get well soon, Tom. The show is going to hell without you. Try to do better, fellas. Have a great weekend and go Pats.
Wow. I do appreciate Andy. His letters are often bracing,
mm-hmm.
but that's the way you grow. New York Times going digital 206 says, Danny, true journalism does still exist. Rest easy. But then so does the panda and all 12 of them struggling to survive on the diet of nutrient deficient bamboo.
I got to eat bamboo. I'm confused.
I have no idea.
From the 425, most of what is on TV is not news. It's commentary. There is very little actual news being broadcast on TV these days. No, that's not true. I just saw the pro wrestler on Fox News with a short sleeve shirt, a vest, and a backward baseball cap.
Damon in SeaTac says, I've been around the world. Media reports is not about the truth. It's about getting a story out there to be consumed by the public. How that story informs the public is decided by various factors, politics, warfare,
psyops,
low intensity conflict and suppression.
That sounds like a very cynical view of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Questions about other letter writers.
Yes.
Listener Cruz. Whatever happened to No Name Beth? Why did she stop writing? Get well soon, Tom.
I don't know, but it's nice that if she's out there and she can
No
hear
Name
that
Beth
letter.
Got a job.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, and she could no longer listen to the show.
I thought maybe she found a name.
No. That was it. 206. The machine learning was created by, wait for it, men.
Hmm. From the 206, the Raiders stink so bad, you would need to take the whole darn team, including the water boy, for the Raiders to beat the Seahawks.
And finally, Tom, or Danny, you ready?
Yes.
Just killing a couple of seconds because we're...
Am I supposed to read it?
No, we got to get to the letter of the day. I'm looking for the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Did you move her, Jacob?
Oh, no, I didn't move her.
Can you tap the jar to see if she's still with us?
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
I gotta wake her up. Danny?
Now I read it?
Yeah, now you read it.
Eric the Logger, I'm highly offended at Danny's use of the slur hillbilly. Mm-hmm. It's bad enough I didn't get a cocaine pizza yesterday, and
oh,
now this.
Oh, no. Forgot.
I guess the only thing left to do is take off my pants and have a beer.
Oh, no. Dad, I forgot a cocaine pizza lady. All right. Danny, thank you very much.
You bet. Pants are for poor people.
Thank you. Oh, have a fabulous weekend, everybody. We'll have a report for you on how Tom is feeling with his knee. Maybe we'll get him back on the air on Monday and see. A prediction on the Seahawks score. Go, Danny.
Seahawks 31, Oakland Raiders 20.
Okay, just like that?
Yes.
Marshawn Lynch, anything?
Marshawn Lynch is going to rush for 75 yards on 20 carries.
Wow. Okay. And by the way, Dory's show coming from London, and then right after that, he's going to go right into 48 hours of Hawk Talk prior to the game.
London, England, consider yourself warned.
Out of time. Bye-bye.